오. 옴 사나바두 사나우푸나투 사바위암 가바바하이 테자스미나바시타마스투 마크리트비샤바하이 옴 샨티 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 사마스테자니칼라니 निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्म विद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्म विद्वरम् ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिता भगवता नारायणेन स्वयम् व्यासेन ग्रथिता पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवतीम् अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्तदापि भगवती देववर्त्रेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुता स्तन्वन्ति देव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं साङ्गम् ध्यानमुपस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विभुत्सुरा सुरगणा देवामृतस्मै नमः देवामृतस्मै नमः ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः ॐ श्री सरस्वते नमः ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम् सो वी जस्ट स्टार्टेड द सिक्स्थ चैप्टर लास्ट वीक आफ्टर समराइजिंग द फर्स्ट फाइव चैप्टर्स वी कवर्ड द फर्स्ट श्लोक अनाश्रित कर्म फलम् कार्यं कर्म करोति यः सन्यासी च योगी च न निरग्निर्न चाक्रियः सो वन हु डस एक्शंस विदाउट वरिंग अबाउट व्हाट विल आई गेट विदाउट वरिंग अबाउट द फ्रूट और द रिजल्ट्स इज अ सन्यासी एंड योगी बिकॉज वी हैव डिफरेंट आइडियाज ऑफ सन्यासी एंड योगी And but we think sannyasi is one who has given up fire, given up home. And yogi is the one who stays in meditation, does minimum activity. But Bhagavan Sri Krishna says the most important quality of a, and close the door, please. The most important quality of a wise person is one who does activities. Anashrita karma phalam, without worrying about what he or she will get, does what is right and lives in a spirit of karma yoga. So now we'll continue where Bhagavan will explain to us a little more of who is a sannyasi and who is a yogi. And also what is sannyas and what is yoga. So today's shlokas will talk more about that. So chapter 6, shloka number 2. Can you even follow on your phone? Yam sannyasamiti prabhuhu. Yogam tam vidhi pandava.
Yogam. Pandava.
Na
Na
योगी भवति कश्चन
योगी भवति कश्चन
टुगेदर यम संन्यासमिति प्राहुः योगं तं वित्ति
योगं
पाण्डव न ह्यसन्न्यस्तसङ्कल्पः योगी भवति कश्चन। सो यम संन्यासम इति प्राहु दैट इज व्हाट दे से। हु इज दे यू टॉक अबाउट द व्हाट दे से यम संन्यासम व्हाट इज संन्यास योगम तम विधि नो दैट ऑल्सो टू बी योग। सो संन्यास एंड योग आर द सेम और नॉट एग्जैक्टली द सेम। विल कवर हाउ दे व्हाट इज द कनेक्शन। ओ पांडव ओ अर्जुन नो दैट संन्यास एंड योग आर नॉट डिफरेंट। देन सेकेंड लाइन नही नही मीन्स इंडीड वेरी सर्टनली असन्यस्त संकल्प। वन हु डज नॉट गिव अप संकल्प व्हाट इज संकल्प विल टॉक अबाउट। सो वन हु डज नॉट गिव अप संकल्प कैन नॉट बिकम योगी भवति कश्चन नेवर कैन बिकम योगी। सो व्हेन भगवान सेज प्राहु व्हाट डज ही मीन बाय दे से। व्हेन एवर भगवान कोट्स सम अदर रेफरेंसेस ही टॉक्स अबाउट द उपनिषद्स द ऋषिज ऑफ द उपनिषद्स। सो भगवान सेज दैट व्हाट आई एम टेलिंग यू ऑफ कोर्स In the beginning of the fourth chapter, he said, I am the source of everything, all knowledge. But here he says, whatever I am telling you is not new. This teaching of the Bhagavad Gita is the same as the teaching of the Upanishads. The Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita give the same message. And Bhagavan says, what I have given you is summary of the Upanishads. Only difference is Bhagwan has made these teachings easy for people like you and me to understand. The Upanishads were meant for very advanced seekers who had seen the world and decided the world is not going to give me happiness. Pariksha, Pariksha in the Mundaka Upanishad, it says, Pariksha Lokan Sarva Chitan Brahmana Nirveda Maya. Hastya Krit Kritena, one who has seen the world realizes that the world cannot give me joy, the final experience. Yes, the world will give me some temporary pleasures, but the highest knowledge and the highest joy and the highest achievement cannot be got from the world. And what does he do? Then he approaches a teacher. तद्विज्ञार्थम गुरुमेव अभिगच्छे समित पाणि श्रोत्रिय ब्रह्मनिष्ठम। द टीचर ऑफ द उपनिषद ऑफ द स्क्रिप्चर शुड बी नॉलेजेबल अबाउट द स्क्रिप्चर्स एंड हैव द एक्सपीरियंस। सो भगवान सेज आई एम गिविंग यू द नॉलेज दैट इज गिवन बाय दिस ऋषिज इन द उपनिषद्स। And the goal of both is the same. They both take us to the highest, but the Bhagavad Gita is more suitable for people like us who are working in the world and wanting to achieve the highest goal. Then what is sannyas? So sannyas, we think sannyas is only orange clothes, and that is true to some extent, but the word sam and nyas. Nyasa means to throw. Samnyas means to throw completely. So a sannyasi is the one who has thrown away the world, completely thrown away the world. Again, does not mean that this person has nothing to do with the world. He just, with long hair and beard, is wandering somewhere, sitting somewhere, and no. What it means is that this person has understood that the world is not going to give me what I am looking for. I may seek it, I may search it, I may get some temporary joys, There is no doubt, but all that joy is mixed with sadness, with sorrow. Whatever gave me joy at one time may give me sorrow. So the highest joy he is looking for, and Bhagwan says throughout the Bhagavad Gita that purification of the mind, cleanliness of the mind is very important. What do we mean by cleaning the mind or purifying? Say your room is very dirty, there's clothes all over, mess, you know, dirt, you haven't cleaned and vacuumed, and somebody says, a teenager, you know, you come and tell him, clean up your room, you know, what's all this mess everywhere? I want this room cleaned. Otherwise, you can't go with your friend this weekend. So then he reluctantly starts cleaning, you know. And what does he do? He takes a vacuum cleaner and starts picking up the little dust. What are you doing? First, pick up all these clothes and books and the big things. The dirt you can do later on. First, pick up all this junk. I can't see it. So start with the big things. And then, yeah, then you can vacuum. Same way when we want to purify our mind, we start by controlling our senses. That is the gross thing. You know, our senses want to run outside. I want run. I want physically. I want to do this, get this, possess this. So start with that. Start with control of the senses. You know, let not the senses run out into the objects. And once that activity is reduced, then you control the mind. Then you, so that is tama. Tama is I control my senses. And then shama. Shama is I control the mind. So I, from gross body and the senses, I come to the subtle, the mind. So from the body, I come to the mind, my emotions, and then I control my thoughts, purify my thoughts, make them pure, my thoughts, my emotions. Remove the negativities, that is cleaning, and then ultimately work on the vasanas. So it does not mean you wait till all, but that is the process. So, and then purifying my vasanas, my desires, and I become closer to the truth. And Bhagwan says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vishayavini vartante nirahārasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivart. He says, when you give up sense objects and you say, okay, I won't go after sense objects, drinks or alcohol or smoking or jewelry or things or movies or TV or phone, all these sense objects I reduce, but the taste still remains, rasavarjam, taste still remains in the mind. Oh, I wish I could, you know, get this, I wish I could drink, I wish I could go store, buy this, do this. So how does the taste of the physically you may not do it, but your mind and intellect is still missing that. How do we reduce that? Param drishtva nivartate. When my mind is connected with Om, with Bhagwan, with the Lord within, then my desire for objects automatically goes down. Is everybody familiar with the BMI chart? You are familiar with it? I'll just go. So I think myself to be this body, mind, intellect. With the body, I perceive emotions. With the mind, I feel, sorry. With the body, I perceive objects of the world. With the mind, I feel emotions. With the intellect, I think the thoughts. So when my body, mind, and intellect is chasing after objects, emotions, and thoughts, I become a perceiver, feeler, and thinker, the ego. And what is propels me is the vasanas, my desires, long-standing desires. And Om is the consciousness. So the goal of life is to reduce vasanas and connect my PFT to Om. So one who connects with that, with the Lord, then what does he realize? What is his or her experience? The Lord is everything. I am nothing. We just heard from Swami Aparajitananda ji. I'm sure most of you came. Those who didn't come missed a very, very wonderful teacher. And Swamiji told us, he says that whatever I am is because of Bhagwan. I am speaking right now because of Bhagwan. We are listening because of Bhagwan. Bhagwan is talking, Bhagwan is listening. Every cell of my body functions because of Bhagwan's presence. When I'm sleeping, who takes care of my heart, my lungs, my whole body? So constantly seeing the Lord's presence, of course, outside you should see that in the trees, flowers, birds flying, even in the rocks, stones, everything is God. That's why in our scriptures, we worship even rivers, Ganga, because that again comes from the Lord. And so outside and inside, constantly being aware of that God's presence, and again, remind yourself. Swamiji says, just keep reminding yourself, Bhagwan is doing everything. I am not. I am not. Then automatically your ego will go down. Then, so that is sannyasa and yoga. And then he says, Nahi asanyasta sankalpa. Without giving up sankalpa, you cannot become yogi. So the word sankalpa is a beautiful word, has a lot of meanings. Some apply to in this shloka, some don't, but I'll just briefly cover what is the meaning of sankalpa. One is sankalpa vikalpa, that, you know, I get up in the morning, it's Sunday, you know. Yeah, I know there is a Gita class, but also, you know, it's a nice sunny day. I should go play golf. Or why am I getting up so early? Ek hi Sunday to milta hai to sleep in. And I have to get up and go to the class. No, let me sleep till 10 o'clock. Right? So that is sankalpa vikalpa. I don't know what to do. Then other sankalpa is when we sit for puja, you know, Panditji says, Mamo Pata Sarvata Sarvakshaya Durita Dwara Parmeshwara Pritiyartham Pujam Karishye. Mamo Pata, I have decided that I will do this puja. And why do I do it? Parmeshwara Pritiyartham, for pleasing the Lord, or if I'm doing Guru Paduka Puja, for Puja Gurudev. And to remove all negativities, so that is sankalpa, that is second. Then third sankalpa is when I decide, okay, I'm going to do this many million of japas. They say, like Bhagwan says, Shiva is Om, then he said, Nama Shivaya, Nama Shivaya. That is five syllables, Nama Shivaya. So if you do 5 crore times, that is 50 million times, Om Namah Shivaya. Just do it, you will attain enlightenment. Don't need to go to any class, don't need to do karma yoga, bhakti, nothing. Just the 5 crore times, if you can chant Bhagwan's name, you are done. When we say 5 crore is a lot, 50 million. So as many as you can do, the more you chant, more you will purify your mind. So that is another sankalpa, that I will chant the Lord's name constantly till I attain. And that's what the yogis do, you know, who sit in meditation. Then another meaning of sankalpa is, by doing this, I will get happy. You know, if I get this, I will get happy. So we came to this country. We say, I am tired of living in India. If I go to US, I'll be happy. Okay, then we come here. I have a student visa. When I get green card, I'll be happy. But when I get citizenship, I'll be happy. So we keep postponing happiness. Then we say, when I get my first job, I'll be happy. Okay, I get a job. When I get promotion, I'll be happy. So that way we go on and on. When I get married, I'll be happy. I want to people to raise the hands. How many are happy after being married? Please raise your hands. So we think that something, or when I have my first child, That's when all the problems start, you know, when he grows up. Or when we say, I'm tired of working, when I retire, I'll be happy. Retired. So we think after retirement. After retirement, then again problems start, you know, all problems of old age. So there were these two 80-year-old men, they were talking. So one says, you know, this old age is no fun. My head aches, my back aches, my legs ache, my knees ache, everything aches. So he says, what about you? So the other one says, oh, I feel like I'm a baby. He says, you're 80 years old and you say you feel you're like a baby? Why do you say that? He said, well, I have no hair, I have no teeth, and I just wet my pants. We shouldn't laugh. We will be there very soon. So sankalpa is when I postpone my happiness to something else. Gurudev says it very beautifully. He says, sankalpa is when I start some activity and I think that that's not, you know, before I have even started, I change to the next one and the third one. So like the example we have is like, say, I say, from tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up and do yoga. Yoga is very good. They say yoga is very good. So I get some YouTube videos, you know, find it and get it all ready. And it's all on my TV ready to go. And I wake up in the morning and I say, and I watch that teacher, I say, yoga is hard, you know, it's hard on the body. You know what? I don't think I'll do yoga. I'll do meditation. So we turn off the TV, go back to sleep. From tomorrow, I will meditate every morning. So I get up in the morning and I sit for meditation. And I say, you know, I'm so sleepy. Let me go get a cup of coffee. So I go get a cup of coffee and then my phone is there. I turn it on. Meditation is gone. The third day, I say, you know what? This is a path of knowledge. Nahi jnane na sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. Bhagwan says the path of knowledge is the most superior. Forget about this yoga and meditation. I will get up in the morning and read. And I get up and start reading. And first thing I know, I'm dozing because I've gone to bed late. I've not had. Then the fourth, we say, you know what? The path of knowledge is too difficult. I'll do bhakti. I'll get up in the morning and do puja. And same thing, you know. So every day I find that before starting one, I've already given up and given something else. So that would. Gurudev says that is sankalpa. So what the Rishi is telling us, what Bhagwan in this Bhagavad Gita is telling us, that sannyasa and yoga are not different. They are two sides of the same coin. Just as one, you know, you flip, one has head, one has tail. So sannyasa and yoga are not too different. They are sequential. They are not two different paths. But yoga, as we had studied even in the fifth chapter, is working without worrying about the fruit, without worrying about the result, which Bhagwan also told us in the first shloka of this chapter. So when I work without worrying about result, do activities dedicated to God for the service of all, then slowly my mind becomes purified. My mind has less desires, less vasanas. And then when with a quiet mind, I am able to meditate, I am able to sit in silence, and I feel God's presence in the mind. So the mind becomes quiet, becomes peaceful. So that is sannyas. And then ultimately I give up even the doership, that I don't do anything, Bhagwan is. So they are sequential. Yoga leads to sannyas. Because our idea of yoga is to, you know, do all funny postures, and sannyas means orange clothes. But Bhagwan says yoga is karma yoga, working without goal, personal selfish goal, and giving up to worship and saying Bhagwan is doing everything is sannyas. Now the next shloka number three, Bhagwan gives a very, very beautiful example, which kind of hits us. What is the connection between yoga and sannyas? And what is the relationship between karma and sannyas? So, number three, Adurukshormunayogam
Adurukshormunayogam
karma karanamuchyate
Karmaka Uchyate
yogarudhasyatasyaiva
Yogam Udhasyatasyaiva
Shama karanamuchyate.
Shamakam Uchyate
Together, Arurukshormunayogam karma karanamuchyate yogarudhasya tasyaiva shama karanamuchyate. So he gives the example of horse riding. Arurukshor means one who wishes to climb up on the horse. How did the horse come here? So we'll see that. Mune. So Muni means one who is a contemplative sage who is on the path of spirituality for Yogam, so one who wants to climb the horse of yoga, karma karanamuchyate. Karma is the cause, karma is the means if you want to climb the horse of yoga. And yogarudha, and one who has climbed the horse of yoga, tasya eva, for him alone, shama karanamuchyate. Shama becomes the cause. So one who wants to climb the horse of yoga, for him karma. One who has climbed the horse of karma, of yoga, for him shama, quietening of the mind. So what is the meaning of this horse? Why does he use the horse example? Because Arjuna is a warrior and he must have done horse riding, obviously, you know, all these warriors knew that. So he knows that this example will hit Arjuna very well. So, Arurukshor Mune Yogam. So, what does he mean by horse riding or climbing on the horse? So, say I want to tame a wild horse. You know, I get a new wild horse. You know, these people in the Western movies, in the cowboy movies, they show these horses are wild. They are in an enclosure and they are running crazily. Now, the person who wants to control the horse, what does he do? He grabs, say the horse has the saddle and rein somebody has put on, but he holds on to the saddle, holds on to the reins, and runs with the horse. He runs alongside the horse, and as he runs with the horse, he's pulling gently to slow down, and then he puts one foot on the stirrup, jumps up, puts the other foot. It takes a lot of effort. Lot of skill to run with the horse, put one foot and then climb up and the other. But once he has climbed on the horse, then it becomes easier to control the horse. While running with the horse, you can't. So then he can tighten his legs around the horse and put pressure, pull the reins, you know, and slow down the horse. So same way, horse is that. So same way for us, our mind is like a horse. Is like a wild horse. It runs so much. Say, you know what? I sit down for meditation, and maximum thoughts come when I sit for meditation. I should do this, I should do that. Oh, he said this and she said that. And last night is what happened in the party. All those things keep on coming. So in the beginning, when your mind is overactive, over busy. And meditation is difficult. So, what do you do? What helps? Do karma yoga. do unselfish work, because when I do unselfish work dedicated to the Lord, it reduces my vasanas, my selfishness. So, how to quieten the mind? Reduce vasanas, reduce desires. I have so many. I want this, I want that, I want to go here, I want to go there, I want to travel. So, when you do unselfish work and then do some puja, some, japa, these are all active karma. That's why he says karma karanam. So, do all these karmas, and that makes your mind quiet, makes your mind single pointed. And then once your mind, yoga rudasya tasyava, once your mind has become quieter, then shama, then sit in silence, and with that quiet mind, turn its attention towards Bhagwan, to the Lord within. And then you can stay in that silence, in that meditation. So meditation will help when you do some unselfish work. Do some puja, some japa, breathing. We say before meditation, do pranayama. So all those things help in quietening the mind. And then with a quiet mind, then you are able to meditate, contemplate. Otherwise, or if we go out travel too much, I go to parties and I get home at 11 and 12 o'clock. And what all the things and the music and noise and that. Then in the morning, what's going to happen? You will think about all those thoughts, or you watched a late movie and there's a lot of violence, and the mind becomes agitated. In the morning, you cannot. So what you do before, in the day before, you quieten your mind. Go to bed at a reasonable time. Do not watch late TV. Do not use the phone, because again, the blue light of the phone stimulates the mind. So when you do that, then your mind becomes quiet. And the same thing, this horse riding is also compared to mountain climbing. So how does it compare to mountain climbing? So say I want to climb Mount Everest. I cannot say tomorrow I'm going to go to Nepal and hire a guide. And no, you start with smaller mountains. Some, you go to, the valley here, Dahon Park. There are some simple mountains you climb, and then maybe you go to Mount Whitney, Kilimanjaro in Kenya, and then slowly you work your way up. So you have to put effort for mountain climbing. There's a lot of effort required. And say, now I have put a lot of effort, I have learned, I have studied, I have done all that. Then I, with the right guide and all that, I go to the top of the mountain, say Kilimanjaro or Mount Whitney or Mount Everest or wherever. It's climbing up is hard. That is karma. Climbing up the mountain is a lot of effort, work. I need protein, I need, shape. My body has to be in shape, breathing. And once I have done that and reached the top of the mountain, then it is, you see, peaceful. It's so peaceful. The whole land is there and the valley is there, and you see the clouds and the sun setting and beautiful scenery. You say, it is all worth it. So having put the effort, then I am able to reach the highest. So that is how the mind becomes peaceful when I reach the top. And that's what they say, that joy is ultimately experienced only in the self within. We experience joy outside, getting this, getting that, chasing after this or that. But a wise person stops. You see these. The Swamijis who come, they have absolutely zero desires. They are so happy with their self. So you and I also can reach. We don't necessarily have to take sannyas, but by reducing my desires and reducing my chasing after objects and turning the attention within, then such a person not only experiences joy within, but becomes a source of joy for all. We just heard Swami Aparajitananda Jai keep quoting how much joy we felt in his presence. It was like Bhagwan himself, you know. That is the beauty of these Mahatmas when he comes or Swami Ishwaranand Ji comes and we sit in their presence and we learn from them and we ask questions. So these people, because they have experienced the joy within, they become a joy for the rest of us, source of joy. So that's what they say. Do that, and then you can help others. And there are three kinds of people in this world. Three kinds. The one is who are told one time and they do it. Second one says, I'm going to experience myself, then only they do it. A third one is, even after experiencing, they don't. Example is like a child is told, don't put your hand in fire. Some child may listen, other one says, Are, why should I not? Let me try it. So he puts his hand gets burnt, he starts crying. Okay, he won't. But there are others who don't listen and keep doing, you know, getting into trouble. Or like a student goes to college and you tell him, you know, study, you know, and keep your focus on your final goal. You want to become an engineer or lawyer or doctor or whatever, computer programmer. So some people, student, listen, right? Okay, my parents have told me, or my teacher in high school, my counselor told me, they listen. Others say, you know what, let me try out, see if it is really good. Like I know one student, he was very brilliant, he was in pre-med, he wanted to go to medicine. And what course did he take? Chinese philosophy. Now, that has nothing to do with medicine. He knew nothing about it. And he just took it, not listening. And then what happened? He got a C or a D, you know, and he said, Array, my grade is coming. So at least one time you hear, but some people don't even. They say, Array, a life college is meant to be enjoyed every day, parties, going out with friends. So there are three kinds of people. In spirituality also, it is the same thing. You know, the guru tells us, some people listen, others try it out, and they say, oh, I went here and there. It took me away from the path. I'm going to listen. So after their own suffering. And third one is keep on suffering, keep on doing, they never learn. So we have to see which group we are in. If Bhagwan has told us in the Bhagavad Gita, Puja Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda Ji has told us this message, apply that. Learn it. Do not wait for problems. And we have to give priority to our life. What is my goal in life? Okay, in the early young age, you may want to earn and, you know, take care of the family. But as you become financially comfortable, as you approach retirement, that's why it's called vanaprastha, you know, withdraw from the world and reduce your, and especially after retirement, you should have a higher goal. I, the friend of mine who retired, he was a physician, and by then I lost touch with him. I didn't see him for a year or so. And then I happened to meet his wife in the bank. So I said, oh, so what is this doctor doing? She says, oh, Dr. Mehta, he does nothing. He just sits all day and watches TV. And he's just flipping channels, one show, then another show. He doesn't go anywhere. And financially, we are comfortable. We have motels and, you know, he has a lot of. But he doesn't go anywhere. He doesn't do anything. I try to tell him, you know. So what a waste. You know, this I remember, we were in the 60s. This was more than 10 years. He was in his 60s. He wasn't old. And for a person with that kind of knowledge and intellect, a doctor, to sit all day and watch TV, what a waste. You know, you have to have your priority. You should give back to society, even if he doesn't want to go to spirituality, start giving back. He has so much money, he has all these abilities. So we have to prioritize our life. What is it that I want? What is important? And let us not waste this human birth. It's so rare to get. I talked about it last time, you know, to get this human birth and have the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and contact with Puja Gurudev and other Swamis of Chinmaya Mission. So do not waste that. Then people ask, how long should I do spirituality before I progress, before I reach the highest? We say it depends. He said, depends on what? Like a person starts music and he asks the teacher, how long before I become a great musician like you? He says, it all depends. It depends on what your level is when you start, what is your intrinsic talent for music, and how much, you know, practice you do, sadhana you do. Another person does a lot of sadhana, he will progress fast. Another person in music, if he hardly plays, he's not going to learn. So same way in spirituality, how fast I progress will depend on, A, what is my previous condition? Maybe in my previous life, I have done sadhana. That's why I am inspired to study Bhagavad Gita. And then in this life, how much effort I put, how much karma yoga service I do, bhakti, pujas are necessary, regular study, meditation. So depending on the effort, that's how you will progress. So that's why they say prioritize your mind and then do not worry about how long. Just keep on doing the effort, show up every day, say, Bhagwan, I'm here, I'm doing my part, now you help. And Bhagwan will help. So that is the example of the horse. That you first put the effort and then quieten the mind. Now in the fourth shloka, Bhagwan gives us three conditions for spiritual progress. Yada hi nendriyartheshu.
Yada hinendriyartheshu.
Na karma svanushajyate.
Na karma svanushajyate.
Sarva sankalpa sanyasi.
Sarva sankalpa sanyasi.
Yogarudastadochyate.
Yogarudastadochyate.
Yada hinendriyartheshu. Na karma svanushajyate sarva sankalpa sanyasi yoga rudasta docyate. Yada means when, he means indeed. So three things Bhagwan says we have to practice. Na indriyartheshu, so not chasing after objects. Not attached to objects. Na karmasu anushajjate. Karmasu means in activities. Anu means is not at all attached to objects or to his even his activities or duties. Anu word is a beautiful word in Sanskrit which has many meanings. Anu means continuously. Anu means to follow. Here anu means not at all. Anushajjate. So he is not at all in attached to sense objects and even not attached to his duties. And then third one is sarva sankalpa sannyasi. He has given up all sankalpa. Yoga rudha tada uchyate. That is person who said to have climbed the horse of yoga, to have mastered this yoga, to become an expert in this world of spirituality. You have to do three things. So one is not be attached to objects. And second is do not be attached to your duties. And third is give up sankalpa. So attachment to objects, we all know, you know, we all are attached to either to objects or to people or to situations. So how do we get attached? Say you are a father or a grandfather or a grandmother and you go to pick up your grandchild from the daycare. You know, he's 3, 4 years old and he is playing and you say, come on, it's time to go home. Now that in the daycare they give them toys, so he wants to take the toy home. Said, no, these toys are meant to be left here. They don't belong to you. They belong here. You leave it. So very reluctantly he's crying and he still want, and you pull it from him. Now he's attached. Are you attached to that toy or that horse or that little toy car or an engine? No. The boy is running around, choo-choo train, you know it's so how you are detached. Why? Because you are no longer 3 or 4 year old. You have grown to the older age. You have grown out of. See, I'm not attached to, but if I pass by a jewelry store, I have to go and, check out the jewelry or the latest iPhone or the computer, my computer. I have to get a new model every year, or my car. It's been 3 years. A car is running fine. No, I want the new model. So we get attached to different things. We don't get attached to toys or little dolls, but we get attached to our own things, whatever I like, whether it's man or a woman. So not depending on objects or happiness, na indriyarteshu, does not depend on objects. Then na karma su anushajyate, and not in even attached to karmas. You say what? He does not do his duties. He does his duties, but without attachment. Say, I have been placed in a particular department, and I like that job, but tomorrow the boss says, you know what? I want to transfer you to the other department. I become so miserable. Oh, no, this is my work. Only I can do it, nobody. Then you are attached to that. You are attached to that duty. If the other place you can perform better, if the boss feels. So getting miserable or getting fighting or resigning the job, no, this I alone can do it. Or people up are at retirement age, but they won't leave the job, they won't leave the company. You are at a stage where you make place for others to progress. It's time for you to get involved in giving back to society in spirituality. So how long are you going to keep working? Even in, spiritual organizations, people get so attached to positions, they say, I can do it, nobody else can do it. No. If someone else is better who can do it, I should willingly give up. So karma su anushajyate. People get attached to objects, people get attached to duties. And attachment to objects or things, it creates problem. In second chapter, Bhagavan says, Yayato Vishayan Pumsa, Sangasteshu Pajayate. Sangat jayate kamaha, kama krodho vijayate. Krodat bhavati sammoha, sammohat smriti bhramsha, buddhi nashat pranashyati. So one who is attached to objects, then he gets strong desire. And when he gets desire and he doesn't get what he wants, there is an obstacle, then anger arises. Why am I angered towards the person or to the situation? Like we said, you get transferred to some other job. And then with anger, then all your wisdom goes down, whatever the scriptures you have heard from the Lord. And once it becomes like that, then this person has no discrimination, his buddhi doesn't work, and he lets his mind and body control him, his intellect becomes quiet. And buddhi nashat pranasyati. Once the intellect discrimination goes down, then this person does all wrong things. So it starts with attachment to objects, thinking about objects. And they say reduce raga and dvesha. Raga means excessive liking. We already have covered that. But even dislike can create problems. I like something, I attach to it, I want it. But if I dislike something or somebody, then that also it interferes with my mind. Oh, I hate this person. Why this person is doing it? when I sit for meditation, I have watched the news last night, I think of Trump or whatever, you know, whoever, Republican, Democrat. Why we are so attached to things. So what we dislike, or some person I dislike, and I saw her in the party last night, definitely she will come in my meditation, and I'll be whole half an hour, I'll be thinking about what she said, why she came. So they say this dvesha is more harmful than raga. Raga is also harmful, attachment, but even hatred is harmful. And so one should go beyond likes and dislikes. And yeah, of course, certain situations are conducive, some are not, but that is the nature of the world, and especially things that I have nothing to do with. You know, in politicians, why that person is doing that? Does it affect me? But we get so angry and we start arguing. Or why in the Middle East? You know, Bhagwan is doing it and somebody does wrong. Let Bhagwan take care of him. Even if somebody hurts me, instead of getting angry or hatred, yeah, you avoid that person, but do not have anger. You say, Bhagwan, you are the one. You will take care of everything. Everybody gets the result of their karmas. And make your life a life of service. So there's a very beautiful incident about Swami Shivanandaji Maharaj, who was Swami Chinmayanandaji's first guru, who gave him sannyas and gave him the name Swami Chinmayananda. And then after that, he sent Swami Chinmayanandaji to Tapovan Maharaj, where Swamiji stayed for many years and studied Vedanta. And Swami Shivananji started the Divine Life Society. So once Swamiji Shivanandaji was coming to meet Raman Maharishi Ji, and he was going there, and he was a little early. And outside the room, there were some people who had come to visit Raman Maharishi Ji. And they had all thrown their shoes everywhere, you know, in the shoe room, here and there, everywhere. Like here also, we keep telling the kids, you know, put your shoes in order. They'd hardly listen. So the adults had just thrown their shoes everywhere. So he said, I am early. It's a mess here. So he sat down and very patiently picked up each pair of shoes, put them on the rack, and carefully made that whole area look so neat and clean. And then he washed his hands, and then he was ready to meet Ma. So this is the attitude of these people. They're not expecting any praise, any name or fame. You know, somebody saw him and reported this incident. But that's how these Mahatmas live, where their life is constant service, constant giving back. And Swamiji, of course, was also a physician. So he used to run free clinics and then also teach Vedanta. So it was a wonderful combination. So learn from the example of these people, and wherever you can, try to make the world a better place. And then nahi asanyasta sankalpa. We already talked about sankalpa in the last sloka. Thinking that something will give me happiness, or projecting my happiness on something. Only if I get that, I'll be happy. If I don't get, I'll be miserable. So that projection is sankalpa, you know, and thinking that I am not happy this time, by getting this, I'll be happy. Thing is, I am Om, Atma, God, and consciousness is within me. He is with me at all times. I have no right to be unhappy. How can you be unhappy when you are with God 24/7? There is no reason to complain. There is no reason to be unhappy. Yes, some illnesses come, some sorrows come, some problems come, but I am with God. God is with me. So constantly remembering God and seeing God, feeling God's presence, then how can I be miserable? How can I be attached to the world when I am attached to God and God is connected with me, guiding me all the time? And as you practice this, slowly God's presence, that's what the Mahatma say, you will feel God's presence, you know, the more you focus on that. So then people say, Bhagwan, it is very difficult. I find it very hard. You are saying do karma yoga, then do bhakti, then do gyan, then do meditation. How am I to do it? It's very difficult. I don't think I can do it. Bhagwan says, next week I'll give you the best shloka of the sixth chapter, and we'll study that, how we can do all this. So we'll end here. Thank you so much, all of you. My pranams to all of you for giving me this opportunity. So we'll end here. See you next week. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkhabhag Bhavet. Om Asatoma Sargamaya, Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya, Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Vyo Namah. Hari Om. Thank you very much.